How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. Backlash was yesterday. Double or Nothing is coming up in 2 weeks. A lot of news to talk about. More people have left the company in WWE. One possibly done last night. May surprise some of you. We'll talk about it. We're going to talk about the fallout from Backlash. What did you guys think of Backlash? Is this the new way that they do these PLEs? Is this what we're going to see for almost all of them except the big ones? Very possible. And if that's the case, I don't know what to make of it. I didn't hate this pay-per-view. I thought that was some pretty good stuff. But it is, you know, Disney on Ice. I keep saying that. I feel like these are just specials. Fun for the whole family. That's their whole thing. We see that with Danhausen. We see that with a lot of things. So we're going to talk about this because I do want to talk about it. There was a lot of positive. I love that mirror spot, though, with Danhausen. I'll tell you that. But I'm biased. My affinity towards Danhausen has blinded me as if it's good or not. We'll talk about this. A rumor of a two-night triple mania. Or is that announced? I think it is. Two-night triple mania. We're going to get that. Ted Turner, unfortunately, his passing early in the week. We're going to discuss that also. And the venue that AEW ran last night for Collision. I got to talk about it. It was a fever dream. I think they should have, like, it's like a video game at this point on the building. They should have a swamp set up. They should do a Club Lavella set up. I would not be surprised if they did that. When we come back, we're going to talk about this and a whole lot more happening in the world of professional wrestling. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor. Follow me. At Andrew Zarian on X. I'm also on Instagram, but I don't really post anything. I can't remember the last time I posted on there. You hit a certain age, you stop doing social media. 42 now. It happened. Turning 42 on Wednesday. Brian Alvarez, I gotta tell you, he's older than me, and this man is reversing in age. He's reversing. I think we need to investigate what he's doing. And he's not even on the peptides. I think it's all the Fogo de Chao he's having. I think that's what's preserving him. Let's talk about this. Ted Turner, legendary television executive, marketing genius, I guess. Founder of WCW, owner of the Atlanta Braves, the manager of the Atlanta Braves for one game. Hysterical. Unfortunately passed away. He had Lewy body syndrome, right? Which is a slow, I guess, derivative of dementia for a number of years. He was somewhat of a recluse. He was not doing appearances, for a long time, passed away. You know, Ted was an instrumental part in television. His story is fascinating. Dave did a tremendous job eulogizing him. I mean, he's really one of the best, Dave, at this. Such a great historian. I recommend everybody check that out. But, you know, he started off, took his father's business after his father committed suicide. He was 26, 24, 25, 26, something around there. And he turned a successful billboard company he became a billionaire, into an empire. And wrestling played a part in this, for us, at least, that side of the story. Important person in the world of professional wrestling between Georgia, between NWA, between WCW, and then WWE eventually taking over. And the fact that AEW is on television on TBS and TNT, single-handedly, Ted is responsible for that, for the fact that that station even wanted wrestling. Just a very important guy. In many things, we could talk about him for hours here, but as far as the wrestling goes, you know, he never wanted to be an on-air character. He didn't like that. I would have thought during the during the era where, you know, Eric was going out there and attacking Vince, I really thought maybe Ted would have done something. Did you ever get that feeling?
Oh, hi.
Oh, by the way, my producer may have a huge breaking announcement for his life at the end of the show. I think he may announce something big on the air today.
No, we're not doing this, Andrew.
Okay. All right. You're not ready. It's okay.
No. Jesus. He was, for me, I don't think, I would have never liked him on air. I'm not a fan of the actual shoot authority figure being an authority figure on TV.
Yeah.
I think it was good when Vince did it, but then it's played.
Vince was the exception
here.
Yeah, because he was such a psychopath. You know, he was such a maniac of a human being. It kind of worked because he was a cartoon. I remember.
He was a cartoon on air and off. So
I remember there was on one of the message boards. You know who would probably know this? It would be Tony Khan. He would know this. On one of the message boards around the time of that whole higher power thing, people were speculating that the higher power could be Ted Turner. And I thought, I think that's impossible. But my gosh, can you imagine with that accent and everything? And he takes out that hood and you see that face and it's him. Oh my gosh. We're fantasy booking here. But Ted Turner passed away, instrumental person in the world of professional wrestling, obviously, and television. So it's always sad when you have to report something like that. Very sad.
He pushed Vince.
Last night.
Without him, he would have not gotten what Vince did as far as the Attitude Era and all of that. So,
you know, that's a great discussion. I'd love to ask Dave about that. If Vince wasn't pushed, I mean, literally pushed to the edge of changing everything about how he thought about wrestling, where would it have been? Where would pro wrestling be? I don't know. I mean, you could say that naturally things were changing anyway, and he would have been pushed by everything else that was happening. You know, wrestling was heavily influenced by the 90s itself. Hip-hop culture, rock music. Everything was changing. The MTV era. Anyway, Backlash last night. This was a show. If you're going to rate this show out of 5 stars, what would you give it? 2.5?
I would give it 3 balloons. Can't do stars with this show because it's a circus.
Dave, 3 balloons. You're giving it 3 balloons. I'm giving it 2 balloons, but one is a little deflated. The helium is out of one, so it's kind of floating
kinda
in the
like
middle.
Kind of like Danhausen's partner.
Kind of like Danhausen's partner. The show opened up on ESPN2. You had Braun Breaker defeating Seth Rollins. This went 21 minutes. The matches on the show were mostly, I think if you add it all up, it was longer than what we got on that pay-per-view at WrestleMania.
On WrestleMania?
Night one. It must be. Because this match went 21 minutes. Seth had to fend off the Vision with chairs, allowing Braun to recover and getting the win. The story's obviously continuing. This was a match that they were planning on doing at WrestleMania. And obviously it didn't happen because Braun was hurt. Seth is Seth. He did an interview afterwards on that post show, and they were talking about how he's 40, and what did he say? He's going to get back to the way he used to be.
Yeah, it was almost somber. Like, what do we like? You know, it's like, hey, are you thinking about? They were like questioning whether or not he was going to continue, and he finally said, he goes, "This is a setback, no doubt, but I will continue, and I'll move on, and I'll get back to where I was," or something to that. Paraphrasing heavily there, but that's pretty much what he said.
Yeah, so we'll see. I guess that's continuing. Trick Williams, Sami Zayn. Trick won, defeating Sami to retain the U.S. title. This went 12 minutes. I have to tell you, I'm a big fan of Trick. I think his overall presentation is great. I think he's a very good wrestler. I didn't think that this match was that great. He's so over. But Dave on Observer Radio, I keep bringing Dave up today. I got a little Dave crush going. Dave on Observer brought up an interesting point, and he said, you know, when you're in a ring with someone like Sami Zayn, it should elevate you beyond your capabilities as far as a normal match goes. We didn't really see that. Obviously, he still has time. He's still young. He's still fresh, but he is so over. It's fine. I'm telling you, they have something in him. He's the guy. I think he's going to be the guy. I don't know for how long. I don't know when, but he's going to be the guy in that company.
And we'll talk about the John Cena silly announcement in a minute. But, you know, John Cena put over all those new guys. They are definitely in a renaissance as far as pushing newer talent. Him, Oba, they brought up, you know, Sol Ruka. So they're definitely putting their eggs in that basket now.
I don't think their problem is talent. I don't think their problem is having older talent on the roster. I don't think that's the problem. There's a lot of other problems. But I thought Trick, you know, I like him. He's great. Oba, him. I mean, there's so many other people coming up that I think are very, very talented. You know, being in there with Sammy, I thought you'd get a little bit more, but it was a shorter match. He went about 12, 13 minutes here, which, you know, it was nice and quick here. I thought Sammy looked great. It was fun. When we come back, I want to talk about something I absolutely love, and that's Danhausen. It is an interesting, it was a very interesting card here between these matches. Oh, my gosh. When we come back, I got to talk about the gingerbread. How could I forget to talk about the gingerbread man? One of the dumbest segments I've ever seen on television. Whatever they tried to do did not work. So we'll talk about this when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I got to bring up this gingerbread man funeral. And if you did not watch SmackDown, you're saying to me, what are you talking about? If you don't watch WWE, just watch AEW or anything else. You're saying, what gingerbread man funeral? They had a gingerbread man funeral on SmackDown. It's too much. It's too much. What are we doing? What is this show? What did you make of that?
I was indifferent to it because I knew it was going to be silly, you know, and going back in years in wrestling, I've always done that. I've always been a little bit like, okay, this is stupid, but it's wrestling and they're going to do something weird. And I've always kind of taken that approach. So when these things happen, I don't lose my mind like some people do. I just know it's dumb. And that's what this was. It was dumb. And it wasn't for me, it wasn't for you, and I'm sure a large part of the audience is like, what is this? But yeah, they killed the gingerbread, and Sammy's the culprit, and they've managed to make Sammy heel without making him heel somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the point, is to get him over as a heel.
I don't know. I hate that gingerbread stuff. Silly. But you know what? It's silly, it's stupid, but you know what else is really silly and stupid? And that's the Danhausen stuff. Danhausen had a mystery partner against The Miz and Kit Wilson. There you go.
You said it right.
I said it right. It's not Kit Williams, which I'm still petitioning that this man's name should be changed to Williams, because that's all I could say. He cloned himself. Danhausen built a cloning machine on SmackDown and cloned himself. And it didn't work out well. Didn't work out well.
About 60%.
It worked out about 60% and it stopped. And he had a little person. He had a little Housen with him. It was Masquerita Dorado. The mini version of him from AAA. I got to tell you, dude, I like this. It was stupid and it was fun. Did you like this match?
Same thing. It was like an adult. Well, not even an adult cartoon. It was the mirror spot.
Right? The mirror spot.
That was good.
Danhausen cursed, and the mirror, and it cursed, and it cursed the little Housen. Oh my gosh! Perfect. Perfect. Io Sky defeated Asuka. Following this, this went about 18 minutes. Again, they gave this a lot of time. So after the match, Io bowed to Asuka. Asuka broke down in tears and gave Io a big hug. They embraced, and Asuka held Io's hand up. This felt like a goodbye for Asuka. It seems like it. It seems like this is a goodbye. You know, this was something that people kind of saw coming. If this is a goodbye, I'm curious what she does. Are we looking at a semi-retirement? Are we looking, she goes back to Japan? Is this something in Japan? Could she show up on AEW TV? Asuka in AEW?
I don't know.
And Kairi in AEW?
It's just interesting that they, you know, obviously if she's leaving, I'm guessing she wanted to do it. She is a little bit older now and she has other interests. She's super funny on YouTube and her YouTube channel and all that. So maybe that's something she wants to do more of.
Yeah, Io, she's incredible. She looks incredible. She's still wrestling at a very high level. She's 44. She's done this a very long time.
Also, that match, it's hard to compare it to with the main event, but you could argue that was the best match on the show as far as.
Oh, yeah, that match was great. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
that match was great.
These ladies, and there was a bit of strong style in there. Nah, I wouldn't say full on stardom level, super strong style for them, but there was a lot in there, and they good.
Yeah.
And I think also that story benefited from having more time. That's the problem with the Mania matches; they all were like 7 minutes or 10 minutes, and every one of these is over 10. Every one of these matches, including the Danhausen match.
Dave was quoted here by saying, story I heard is that she's semi-retired. I haven't really gotten the exact meaning of semi-retired, but I guess people were wishing her goodbye and things like that backstage. I don't know if this means she's going back to Japan and still wrestling. I just don't know. Interesting. Hmm. You know, you're going to see, and there will be more. I'm telling you right now.
There definitely seems to be some sort of... I don't want to say exodus, but some sort of like turning where they're basically telling the older talent, hey, you know, how much longer do you want to do this? And, you know, and buying some people out of contracts. I wonder if our contract's up. Do we know?
I don't know. I'll find out. Find out. I was actually surprised by this. I had heard there were more people.
I was too.
Leaving, you know, we saw that. We saw that squash of Tama Tonga on SmackDown. You know, I don't know if that means anything. Is he on the way out? His brother's gone.
Well, he also is being paired with. I think they're doing something with him and Nakamura. I think we're going to get a different.
I hope so. I hope we got something there. Mm-mm. Main event here. Roman Reigns. Jacob Fatu. World Championship. Roman, this went about 18 minutes. With his cousin, Roman wins. Fatu hit a pop-up Samoan drop, but Roman countered it with a Superman punch. And he followed it with a spear for a near fall. Fatu applied the Tongan death grip, which I love that he's using this move. Reigns held onto the top turnbuckle for leverage. The buckle came off in the process. This was the finish. Fatu held the death grip, but Reigns shoved his head to the exposed buckle. And then followed with a spear and then the pinball. Afterwards, Fatu attacked Reigns after the match. And he put the death grip on him. Officials ran out. But he super kicked Shane Helms. He shoved Adam Pearce out of the ring. Fatu put Roman again in the hold. And five officials desperately tried to stop him. Eventually,
you know what I love?
So that is continuing. Yes.
I love a good submission hold that... doesn't make any sense. I've always loved the tongue death grip falls into the category of the claw.
It is a claw. It would be a claw.
It's just like the finishing moves that these guys they tell you is painful and it hurts and really it doesn't. I've always been fascinated by that. But yeah,
I tell you, a sharpshooter hurts. A sharpshooter hurts. Walls of Jericho hurts.
But just putting hand pressure on something. Now on the throat, I could see it being an issue, and I'm sure there's definitely a way that's illegal, and some martial artists will say no, that's a thing. you could definitely hurt somebody badly.
I thought it was good. I thought this main was good. I think Roman's always excellent. This was a fine main event. I think Jacob Fatu will become a big player here. He's absolutely perfect in his role. I liked it. I just, you know, quick show. What time did the show end? It was like 9:30.
No.
Before.
It was, no, yeah, it was 8:45 when it was done.
It was 8:45, and yes, because, 8:45, yeah. Yeah. UFC was on at 9.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like that they did that. And obviously, that's probably they didn't want to counter program their own stuff. But I thought it was good.
That
actually,
why are we having shows run to midnight? Why? Why are we doing that? Why are we depleting your audience for the main events?
I used to love it. And then I went to SummerSlam.
Two years ago, when
SummerSlam started at 8 in Detroit, and we didn't walk out of the building until 12:30, and, you know, you would have liked, because when I go to a show like that, I like to find a pub, find a bar, relax, kind of decompress for like half an hour and then leave, but you can't do that. Everything's closing because it's going on.
It's so late.
2 o'clock.
It's so late.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was fine.
Home at 3 a.m. So
listen, could this have been a Saturday night's main event? Yeah, it very well could have been, and I would have said that was a fun Saturday night's main event.
You know what? That's a good comparison because it had that feel to it.
It had that feel for sure. John Cena, by the way, this was the other thing. John Cena.
We got to talk about this. Yes.
Yeah, we got to talk about this because we got about two minutes here, right? John Cena revealed a new event championship named after John Cena. It's called, what is it called? The John Cena Classic. It's going to feature both NXT and WWE stars battling for the new John Cena Classic Championship. Cena explained he would look for a certain level of excellence as he's personally putting his name on the project. He also emphasized that the audience will vote to crown the champion. Every participant will qualify, meaning even if someone loses their hustle, they could get the championship. Wins and losses do not matter. This is a popularity contest.
God.
The John Cena popularity contest. Who's taking who to the cotillion?
I hope this works, but it sounds stupid.
I want to touch on this just a little bit more before we talk about Fairway to Hell, AEW on an indoor golf course. Before we talk about that, I want to touch on this when we come back from break because I'm very curious about this. What does that mean? So, like, Danhausen would become the world the John Cena Classic champion? I'm very curious about this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I got to talk about this. I got to continue talking about this because I'm thinking, how are they going to do this? So let's say you have Shinsuke Nakamura, right? He's one participant. And give me someone in NXT right now. Shiloh Hill. Shiloh Hill loses, but they keep voting for him and he becomes champion. Or Oba Femi. I think this is going to be set up for someone like an Oba. Okay? An Oba or, you know, someone. I'm throwing names. Like a trick. Like somebody that is on the higher level that came from NXT. And then you're going to put them up against a lot of veterans from WWE. Maybe you'll have people that aren't necessarily on TV too often. That could have Matt Cardona could be in this. I'm willing to bet Cardona's going to be in this. You know, it's fine. It's good. It's something else. Better than what people thought. It was going to be a club WWE announcement. All right. You don't care. You're over this.
Oh, sorry. I had to.
Let's talk about AAA. This was fascinating. The virus of multi-night events has spread to Mexico. WWE announced a two-night AAA Triple Mania 34 event.
Virus.
The brain virus. It'll take place Friday, September 11th, and Sunday, September 13th. While two nights of the event will take place in Mexico City, While night two will take place in Mexico City, night one has not been announced. Is that in the States? Very possible.
That is, I don't know, but I will tell you, I think if they keep them both in Mexico, maybe they do like San Diego or something. I don't know, but they are definitely going to sell both these out. It's Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Dude, if so they ran a show here, there's no question I would 100% go see AAA. 100%. It's become one of my favorite shows to watch. And I think it's because they've kind of modified this whole presentation of Lucha where it's a little bit easier for you as an American, as a non, you know, triple, non Lucha Libre fan. So it's getting a lot of buzz. It also feels different. It doesn't feel like SmackDown or Raw or NXT. It just feels different. It's a very different promotion.
Definitely love it. And also, having a one-hour show makes a difference, too. And they got the hair versus hair, or mask versus mask match next week. So
they do have a mask versus mask match next week, which there is. I want that. We need to talk about that hair match also. We'll talk about this. I'm very concerned for Max. As you saw my plea for him on social media, I made a video pleading that this man does not shave his head, and I gave all the reasons on why, if he did get a hair transplant, what could happen to that follicle, the damage around that follicle. I brought in an expert in the field, Spencer Coburn. Maybe I should have him on the show to talk about what the damage is to that. Maybe I should have him on. I think I should have Spencer on. Listen, this man, Bring the Ball Truth, a legendary radio show that was on radio for years, back on the air to talk about this. I think Max needs to go on his show to talk about what they're possibly going to do to this man and the damage he could suffer. We'll talk about that. But AAA two nights, I'm into this. All right, cool. AEW Fairway to Hell. This was in probably the most unique building that they've booked, right?
It was something. I liked the aesthetic of it, and a wrestling ring on a golf course concept.
Why of course you can't do that on a regular golf course, want more but wacky places. I want the golf course. I want like the moon. I want them on the like a simulated moon. In the sea, you know, have a match in the sea.
I always wanted to do a beach volleyball venue.
I want them to do the beach. I want them to do a beach volleyball court so badly. And I don't know why. I'm just telling, I don't have a rhyme or reason. I want to see like a bash at the beach, like an actual bash at the beach. I like this cool, like the weird venues. This was very odd. This was a very odd venue. It's a indoor, I guess, pitch and putt or a mini golf course.
Well, it's the pro, it's what they do that pro, simulated golf tournament on where Tiger Woods plays in.
Yeah.
On Tuesday
yeah.
nights on ESPN. That's what it is. And I'm surprised they didn't take advantage of those big screens where they show the simulated putts or simulated golf courses. But yeah, just doing it on the greens themselves was very interesting.
So I'm guessing, you know, the building is set up very odd, right? Because they didn't have people on the green too much. They just had like a very small number. So if you were at one side, it was kind of, you're pretty far away from the ring. The ring wasn't in the center of the building, but it was such a unique visual. You know, they're on the sand trap. They're wrestling on the sand trap. I was highly impressed by the visual of this. I didn't know how well it would work when they first announced it. I thought it worked very uniquely. I think this needs to be a regular. The Canadian Destroyer that I just watched again, by the way, on that sand trap was so impressive. but you see, like, the ring was so far away from this.
Yeah.
They did a very unique thing. They ran it for an hour. I think if they did a two-hour show like that, it would have been maybe a little bit more, you know, attention deficit difficult.
Well, they taped ROH, I do believe, there too. So,
by the way, there were 1,600 people there. It set a highest attendance for a non TGL event in that building. Where else could they go? You know, how about Medieval Times? I think they should book Medieval Times in New Jersey and do a show in Medieval Times. I want all different themes. I want Club La Vella.
See, that would be cool.
Go do a nightclub setting. And then, you know, you could. It's almost like you're doing like those wacky arenas in the game.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, you could take advantage of those big screens they have in there and actually do something like that. Make it look like you're somewhere exotic.
Yeah, I thought this was very cool. Mark Davis, the show began with Mark Davis and Jack Perry for the national title. Don Callis ran out, distracted the referee. Ricochet ran out with a golden golf club in full golfer gear and cracked Perry in the back with the golf club. Mark Davis hit a pile driver on Perry for the victory. Mark Davis is the new national champion. Didn't see that coming. But this set up something else. Later on in the show, Divine Dominion defeated Ruthie Slay and Rachel Lay. It was more of an exhibition for Divine Dominion. Mike Bailey defeated Kieran Gray, my apologies. And it was Darby Allin and Pac for the AEW World Championship. Pac defeated Darby. I'm sorry, Darby defeated Pac. That would be a swerve right there. I thought it was very interesting. There was no count-out stipulation. Fairway greens all around the ring. Darby would hit him with a Canadian Destroyer in the sand trap. There was a balcony spot where Darby leaped off the balcony, fell off the balcony. Very cool stuff. So, next week on Dynamite, Darby Allin, Takeshita. So, it seems like Okada is not happening. Okada has to go back to Japan for something.
Yeah, they announced that on the show that he had to go back to Japan. I didn't hear a real reason why, but
yeah,
all right,
he has to go back to Japan for something. So can they do it the following week? I guess they can. But Darby and Takeshita for the AEW World Championship, FTR, Tommaso Ciampa, War Dogs against the Young Bucks, Christian Cage, Adam Copeland, and Orange Cassidy. MJF is going to be there. Maybe we'll get the answers to him accepting. Will Ospreay, Ace Austin, should be a great match. And men's and women's Owen Hart Foundation brackets to be announced. A lot of people were asking, are they going to do this? Yes, they are. They are.
So this will be the shows on the lead up to All In, right?
What, the tournament?
No, the Classic. Yeah, the
Classic,
tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I... Very interesting. How they're doing this. They're very aggressive right now with building these cards and getting to All In. Currently, here are the matches set for Double or Nothing happening in New York City, in Queens, New York, my backyard. Across from Citi Field. Thekla, Sheeta, Chris Statlander, Jamie Hayter, four-way for the Women's Championship. I mean, that's such a that's a really good stacked, you know, match, but I want you to think about what would happen if you add in some of those names that left WWE. If you add a Kairi Sane to that women's division, you add an Asuka to that women's division, what does it do?
Mercedes is probably coming back soon, too.
Mercedes is definitely coming back.
That might be the end of that match. Whoever wins, and then all of a sudden you hear that music, and you pop the crowd. I mean, I'm just saying, you know.
I will tell you, I do know that this is going to be a big show. Not a Paul White, just a big show. Jericho, Hurt Syndicate, Jungle Boy Jack Perry, Jungle Man Jack Perry, Jungle Jack Perry, City Boy Jack Perry, Suburban Boy Jack Perry, and the Elite, Kenny Omega, Matt and Nick, against the Demand, Ricochet, Bishop Khan, Toa Leona, Mark Davis, and three Don Callis members. And this is Stadium Stampede.
So are they doing 7-on-7 now? Is that what this bloated up to?
Seems it. And that will be a fun match. I'm telling you, in that building, I mean, it's a tennis stadium, okay? It's a tennis stadium. So I...
Who do I have to talk to get Ricochet thrown in your lap? That's all I want to know.
Depending on where I'm sitting. I don't know where I'm sitting yet, but I do know that building so well for many, many, many reasons. You also have FTR against Cage and Hope. See, I did it again. Cage and Hope. Cage and Cope. It's an I Quit match for the AEW Tag Team Championship. If Cage and Cope do not win, they must retire as a tag team. Okay. And you got Takeshita and you got Okada for the International Championship. And on top of that, MJF, most likely MJF and Darby Allin in a hair versus title match.
Do you want to expound on that a little more? On the hair thing? You got a minute.
Well, he would have to shave his head. And Max has may or may not allegedly gotten a hair transplant. He did deny going to Turkey. Thank God. As someone that is very involved with Spencer Coburn and the American Hair Loss Association, I have to say that made me feel better, but I do not feel good about him shaving his head if that does happen. He's so good, dude. If you think about it, right? Think about it this way. It's 2026. People are interested in a hair match, right? A hair match. It's still a big deal.
I love the fact that, hey, you have to put something on the line or you don't get a title.
And it's
like
something as ridiculous as your hair. We're going
to
shave your head. If you lose, you're getting your head shaved. I think it's very interesting. I'm really into this. This is a very good card. I thought, you know, and here's the thing. Very different wrestling shows that we saw yesterday. Fairway to Hell and Backlash were as polar opposites of a wrestling show as you could probably get. Interesting stuff. Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final few minutes of the show here. You know, I didn't get a chance to talk about this, but Dynamite was 3 hours. It was 2 hours of Dynamite, 1 hour Collision. And I thought it was odd. The ratings, I mean, you saw the viewership that came out for this. Obviously, there's a plummet for that last hour of Collision. And there's been a plummet in the ratings again because Nielsen has changed the way that they're accounting. I don't know why they're going back and forth so much. I can tell you that, you know, WWE is very unhappy about this. WBD is very unhappy about this because this is affecting the way that they're making revenue for these shows. I don't know what the aftermath is going to be. It's quite possible. Listen, I talk about this all the time. Howard Stern left radio when they went from the QAM to the people meter. Because I think he felt that the writing was on the wall when you find out what people are actually watching. WWE going to Netflix at the moment that things are starting to transition as far as how they're calculating. I mean, that was definitely a calculated maneuver. And it was the smartest thing they could have done. I think it's very interesting how they decided that. But I think it's fine, 600,000. You also had major, major competition on that day, on Wednesday. You had the Knicks playing, and that I think it was like 6 million people watched that Knicks game. Me included. Me, one of those guys. Knicks are on today. Sports are still dominating. That's where we're at right now. I thought it was fascinating. I don't know. I don't know about you. Listen, I know you're a little sour, okay? You're sour about your Detroit Tigers, MG. You're sour. You know, your Pistons are okay. But the Knicks.
Just wait till next week, buddy.
I know. It's okay. We'll
coming.
Talk next week. We'll talk next week. Guys, that's it for this week. Love each and every one of you. Follow me on X at Andrew Zarian. And we'll be back next week with another Wrestling Observer Live. Bye-bye for now.